Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on to Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate. Upcoming FanDuel DraftKings, we are talking Wednesday, May 16th, the main slate. Now, I know there's some day baseball going on over there for you junkies, but we're going to look at the main slate here. Going to look at the main slate a little bit on the early side for you guys, try to get you a breakdown. I'm going to be traveling on Wednesday, not going to have obviously all information at my disposal for the main slate in case there are, you know, rainouts, issues, whatever the case may be. Vegas lines always change. So we'll go through game by game. We'll talk about the matchups here a little bit. Honestly, the Vegas data right now, not particularly reliable, as a lot of outlets just haven't updated their lines until games get played tonight. And then we'll break down pitchers. We'll break down everything like that. The numbers are there. The raw numbers are there for exactly what we want to do on this slate. It's only a five gamer. It's a five gamer. And I'll tell you what, it is absolutely loaded with pitching. So we are going to have some interesting options as far as pitchers go here going into this Wednesday night slate. And that's going to kind of be the fun part. The bats, not so much. Not a lot of fun bats to be worried about. So we'll take a look at it. But it should be a good slate nonetheless. So let's take a look at the matchups that we got Wednesday night. All right, first game of the night, main slate here. Yankees Nats. This should be a fun one. Sabathia, Scherzer. Now, of course, if we get a rainout for some reason tonight, as the this game goes on, you know, you may see these pitchers get pushed back if we get a postpone. I don't think we will, but right now we're Sabathia and Scherzer. Nats are going to be home favorites in this one. We'll see what the line creeps up to from a run total, but Nationals certainly looking sharp here. You like the righties in this lineup. Of course, we're going to be without Zimmerman. This would have been a great Zim spot, but Mark Reynolds should slide in there. I think people forgot maybe he was there. Mark Reynolds should slide in there as a cheap first-based option. Should be popular against Sabathia. We know the splits for Sabathia. Always brutal against lefties. He's a ground ball guy. He's going to manage some innings. He's not going to get dinged too hard. Pitching fine this year. Just, I think you have to try to find any little advantage or edge on this slate that you can, and that one might be certainly be one of the spots. I don't think it's that you're going to play the Yankees against Scherzer. Sorry, just don't think I'm going to do that. Dodgers continue in Miami. Walker Buehler versus Caleb Smith, or so I think. And we could see, I believe it will be Caleb Smith here. Both of these young fellas pitching very, very well. However, a couple little chinks in their armor, you know, a couple little things that make them look like maybe there's a... maybe they're not as perfect as they seem, you know. Specifically, hard contact, some batted ball issues for both of these guys. But on the whole, the strikeouts are there. They've been pitching well. They look promising. It's interesting. It's going to be a fun game to watch from afar here. Thinking about, you know, two guys in Buehler and Caleb Smith right now, both above 30% straight K rates. Now, I think that that'll stay? Not quite. No, I they'll adjust, but their Sierras represent that they're actually pitching pretty well. Smith at 3.5 and Buehler at 2.9. I mean, he looks excellent. So, very interesting young pitchers duel. This could be, these guys could be household names in 3 or 4 years of how good they are. We'll see. Who knows? But it certainly should be interesting to watch these two work against each other. And a lot of fun. A's continue their series in Boston. Chris Sale will pitch for the Red Sox. A little bit of concern, a question about who will pitch for Oakland, but it is likely going to be Kendall Graveman or Trevor Cahill. Probably Graveman. That's what they're reporting on MLB.com. That's what they were reporting on ESPN.com. So we'll see. I don't know if that's going to stick. Graveman or Graveman or Cahill, doesn't matter. I'm stacking the Sox. This is absolutely one of the better spots on the slate. Either one of those righties is going to struggle. So no issue going to the Red Sox bats against this, whoever the A's name as their starter, whether it is Cahill or Graveman. I'm playing it as if it's Graveman right now. We'll find out. Obviously, Chris Sale in a good spot here. You know the ceiling is there. I mean, he just showed us that filthy ceiling in the last two starts, 64 and 67 fantasy points in those last two outings. So don't forget the name. Chris Sale still got it. Chicago Cubs will continue their series with Atlanta. This should be a fun one. Mostly because I don't really know who's going to get the better of the pitching side here. Chatwood and McCarthy, neither of these guys looking phenomenal. Both of them kind of relying on the ground ball, not getting very deep into games, but soaking up innings kind of as, you know, veterans do. McCarthy, obviously a few more years than Chatwood in the league, but Chatwood certainly seems to be just kind of managing innings, not taking on a lot of base runners. Well, he's struggling with some walks, but trying not to take on a lot of base runners, generating ground balls and doing a pretty good job at it. I mean, frankly, like, not anything exciting about what he's doing, but he hasn't really given up a ton of earned runs. You know, it's, I don't know. I mean, they're both not great, but they're not terrible. You know, it's strange. I think you're going to get some bats here. One of these, you know, something's got to give type feeling about one of these guys. Potentially a spot to get some offense from here in this one. Astros will finish the night off in L.A. Verlander versus Garrett Richards. Obviously, we know Verlander has been cooking, and Garrett Richards is actually looked halfway decent himself. 28% strikeout rate, a career high right now. Ground ball rate up at 60%. So doing his Lance McCullers impression, right? Getting the Ks, getting ground balls. Numbers look really sharp for him. I don't really like pitching anybody against the Astros, but Richards' numbers look really sharp. And so, I mean, top to bottom, you are looking at a slate here where, like, there is one obvious pitcher that you want to attack, and it's whoever's pitching in Oakland. It's a Cahill or Graveman. And then you're not particularly like finding any really, really weak points in any of these rotations. Nobody that, has any major flaws in their profile with the exception of a few little nicks and bruises. So I think the bats are going to be the real differentiator. I would expect a low scoring night when you look at, Scherzer, Sale, the way Buehler is pitching, the way Caleb Smith is pitching, the way that, Verlander and Richards are both pitching. So you're just going to have some low scoring games. I think you're going to have to find a couple spots. I imagine the Red Sox will be chalky, and they should be chalky because they have the one massive offensive advantage on the slate going up against, a pretty bad pitcher. But the rest of these, you're going to have to find some fringy type plays and take some risks, with your bats. And so let's talk a little bit about, ways that we can get involved. We'll talk through the player pool. Of course, the pitching should be pretty straightforward, but then we'll have to talk about sticks, and you're going to need offense from somewhere. So let's take a look. We'll figure out exactly who we love. Who do you love? Oh, right. Mentioned this, it's obvious when you have a slate that, Sale, Scherzer, Verlander, pick your poison, man. And honestly, DK guys, you're going with two of these guys. The bats are not good enough on this slate that you need to force in a cheaper pitcher. Now, that said, you could, Buehler's been really interesting, but I think one of the good ways to secure a decent start on this slate is going to be taking two of these pitchers. The numbers are just too good for all three of them for us to even bat an eye. And it's kind of nice. They've been lining up pitching, on similar schedules. So we've been able to kind of have these slates where pitching is just, a no brainer, and you just kind of pick whoever fits your lineup and you feel like has a good matchup. So let's start with, obviously, Mad Max here. Scherzer, has been just a fucking animal as usual. You know, no question, 40% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate, K to walk rate, very, very strong as well. 2.1 Sierra. The Yankees versus right-handers are obviously a threat. I mean, they're the Yankees. They're the New York Yankees. Like, they're the second best offense in the league. However, that does come with people swinging. It comes with a 24% strikeout rate. And I think Scherzer has more than proven that he's the type of pitcher that can dominate any offense, regardless of quality. We just saw him go back-to-back games with double-digit strikeouts across 6 and 7 innings, respectively. I would not expect anything different. Now, of course, he is probably going to give up one dinger. Okay, one long ball will come with the territory, as the hard contact and the fly balls are there. But if you can't get to it, then you can't hit it. And so that's the first part of this. And I think that Scherzer's 17% swinging strike rate proves that it's pretty fucking hard to get to him right now. And only a 6% home run fly ball ratio. We expect maybe one of these to sail out, but that comes with the territory with Scherzer, and we know that going in. So zero issues with Scherzer, even though it's the Yankees. You may hear some people say, well, you know, I don't know. I'd rather. No, come on. You don't question the quality of what this man is doing right now. 40% K rate. It does not happen on accident. He is an animal, and he keeps getting better. This is the craziest part. I mean, since he left the Tigers, 28% strikeout rate, 3 years straight, he had like 28% strikeout rate. Comes to the Nats, 30, 31, 34, 40. If he finishes this year above a 34% K rate where he was last year, I don't know how you quantify this. Like, I'm not a good enough baseball historian, but I would be interested to know where Max Scherzer is going to start to fall in the conversation about the all-time greats. Obviously, he doesn't really have a playoff track record, but there's got to be some conversation about where he is, because the numbers just keep getting better. I just don't understand it. Anyway, that's for another day. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about Chris Sale as well. He has just been electric. Like I said, 2 games over 60 fantasy points in the last 2 outings. Nothing to sneeze at here, man. 34% K rate, 16% swinging strike rate. Very similar to Verlander in that respect. Not quite the batted ball profile. And so if you're saying, well, I don't want to give up that home run, well, okay, fine. Sure, Chris Sale's got a 38% fly ball rate. However, he's got an 11% home run to fly ball ratio. So technically, he's giving up more homers. 2.5 Sierra, though. I mean, come on. You're nitpicking. 4.8% walk rate. Everything is there. You know, we know exactly what we're going to get. Now, the matchup with the A's is appealing. Versus lefties right now, Oakland, 14th in the league in WRC+, plus with a 23% strikeout rate. Very similar in a lot of their metrics to the Yankees. In fact, the exact matching K rates for lefties and righties, you know, respectively in that split. So what do you, you know, guess, I guess, who's going to have more strikeouts? Who's going to get a longer leash? I have no idea. Maybe weather is a differentiator there for you. I think Scherzer's proved the ability to just generate a higher volume of whiffs. And I like the Yankees to chase sometimes. I think that that's interesting to me, but you know, that's kind of narrative driven. The one thing I will say is that if you look at Oakland's BABIP versus left-handers at .325 BABIP, that could come back down to earth. And if that starts to come back down to earth, normalize a little bit, well, maybe Chris Sale's got a little bit of a more of advantage than we actually initially thought on this team. So, certainly seems like, perhaps Sale, I mean, I think, you're nitpicking, like I said, but Sale potentially a better matchup. I don't know, with Oakland, potentially on paper, I guess, but the margins are very, very thin. Now, of course, that leaves Verlander as the possible odd man out, which, I mean, I don't know how you're going to, you know, overlook or neglect what Justin Verlander has been doing, a 35% strikeout rate for him, 14% swinging strike rate, same walk rate as Scherzer at 5.8%. Of course, he has a fly ball issue as well, 57% fly ball rate. But his hard contact is at 24% and 5% home run to fly ball ratio. So the lowest of the three as far as giving up the long balls here at 2.7 is the highest of the three. But it doesn't necessarily concern me going up against the Angels. Now, of course, the Angels are the one team that maybe you would take out of the running here because they actually have some good plate discipline numbers. And we've seen this. They're up in the top five of WRC plus versus right-handers. And that partially comes with the fact that they don't really strike out a lot. 19% K rate for them. So you obviously, you know, maybe you can see here how you would limit your appeal, the appeal of Verlander and the fact that these guys, you know, are very good at just not swinging. That said, he saw LA a couple weeks ago, 9 Ks, 7 innings, quality start, right? He gave up that one home run. Okay. So it was one ball got out on him. But similar to the other guys, we've seen very, very good numbers from him. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, you know, a few more strikeouts from him against the Rangers. But okay, 7, I'll take it. Got the quality start there as well. That's the nice thing about, you know, Verlander is he is getting the innings. Scherzer, they're all getting the innings. They're all getting into the sixth and greater. So it's nitpicking, but I think Verlander on paper is probably 3. And I would probably just say Scherzer, Sale, Verlander. I don't know. I mean, guys, it's really about what fits and what you feel like. Maybe you look at lineups, you look at weather, that kind of stuff to see what you feel like might be a good differentiator for you. There's not a ton that I can notice here that necessarily sets them all apart. Now, I will say, I think that Verlander probably goes the lowest owned, and it's basically just because of the name recognition of the offense. I would think that perhaps Chris Sale goes as one of the higher owned because of that same reason. And Scherzer probably gets the normal 25%+ ownership, maybe even more on a small 5-game slate. But like I mentioned on DraftKings, I think you want two of these guys for sure, just because there's not a lot of sticks. There's not a lot of people worth paying for in the offensive side. So I think that that's definitely the way I would go over there. And we'll see what pricing looks like coming into FanDuel tomorrow night. Now, if you want to pivot down, you want to get a little bit different, it's an easy way to differentiate. You know where people are going to be putting their money on these guys. And, you know, you just get different and because you can fit more bats if you're not playing one of these guys. I think the way to do that is to go to the young fellas down in Miami. You go to Caleb Smith and you go to Buehler. Let's talk about Smith here in this situation. Just really impressive stuff thus far. I mean, 31% strikeout rate and 11% swinging strike rate matched by an 11% walk rate. You know, but a 3.5 Sierra, not giving up a ton of, you know, not a massive number of runs, 38% hard contact, 44% fly ball rate. Now, this is what I mentioned, you know, is that Smith and Buehler kind of each have their own little bugaboos with their hard contact. And that's what you're seeing here with Caleb Smith is the hard contact to lefties specifically is up there. Now the fly balls are coming against right-handers, which makes sense. He's a lefty, so guys are elevating the ball, but it's still too hard. I think in this sample size, we only have 40 innings basically on Smith. It's still too hard to really feel like we have a good understanding of his splits or his numbers. I wouldn't necessarily completely trust them. They could be better. They could be worse. With a walk rate and a swinging strike rate of 11% matching there, I'm going to expect that K rate comes back down. It's going to come down a little bit. So you're probably going to see him closer to, 24% by season's end. Unless he figures out how to gain a little bit more control. Now, the matchup with the Dodgers is not necessarily a bad one versus left-handers right now. The Dodgers are 25th in WRC+, striking out at a 22% clip. It may seem like the name value is there to, be scared off of a Dodgers team, But not that bad for me. I mean, it doesn't really worry me, especially when you know how banged up these guys are. Of course, now Justin Turner back in the lineup kind of starts to change with some stuff there for sure. That is definitely a change. But we'll see how they play tonight against Chen, and you can gauge how quote unquote scared you should be for Caleb Smith. They're just not a scary team. Last year they were a very scary team. The combination of play discipline, explosiveness, they're just not as scary this year with as banged up and as many changes as they've had to that lineup. So a little less concern for me about Caleb Smith in that situation. Now moving over to the opposite side, Bueller. Bueller has been great too. Absolutely. It's excellent. 31% strikeout rate, only an 8% swinging strike rate. So you have to expect that 31% K rate to slow down a little bit. Batted ball profile a little bit better as far as ground ball, fly ball, positive ground ball to fly ball ratio. 54% ground ball rate. Nice, nice, nice. 23% fly ball rate, but 38% hard contact. The thing that is crazy about this kid is the walk rate, by the way, lower. 2.9 Sierra. He's been very, very solid. And he's gotten himself into the sixth in both of the last two games. He got himself into the sixth with two earned and eight Ks last time out against Cincinnati. So the numbers are really, really, really sharp for Walker Bueller. And it definitely seems very realistic that he is this talented. I like the matchup with, frankly, I like the matchup with Miami. We can go after Miami anytime that we like. They're just not a very potent offense versus right-handers right now. They are 29th in the league. They're going to be a whooping boy all year, 24% K rate. So not a concern for me. I think obviously Bueller has more appeal than a little bit more appeal than Caleb Smith, mostly because of the walks and the opposing offenses. So I think there are interesting ways to be different. I think that one of them is going to have a really nice game, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of them have a decent game. And that's, you know, that's a cop out, but the numbers look good. I think I'd lean Bueller though. If you forced my hand. Let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about the sticks. There's not a ton, so we're going to try to find some angles for you guys here. There's not a ton that's obvious, but I think the obvious one is Boston. Now, if it's up against Kendall Graveman, great. No problem with that. But if it's up against Trevor Cahill, great. No problem with that either. So if it's up against Graveman, obviously both of them are right-handers. That's not an issue. You're going to see the same order here. But Graveman's profile right now, 17% K rate, a 4.4 Sierra. He's a little bit better in the ground ball department, 55% this season than he was last season, only a 30% hard contact rate. So, you know, okay, fine, great. But then you see a couple of these numbers that really, really stand out for you. 27% home run to fly ball ratio. Whoa. So you check the splits and you see that it actually it's real. The slugs are coming. He's given up 9 dingers this year. Both sides of the plate, they're happening versus righties and lefties. A 568, 514 slug. The wOBA elevated nearly 400 on both sides of the plate. Now, he cannot strike out lefties. He just isn't getting them. He's walking them way too much. 12% walk rate to the left-handed side of the plate. But the home runs are coming versus right-handers. And I don't know if you would call it lucky necessarily, but a 37% home run to fly ball ratio is not a good sign. That means that just there are some meatballs every once in a while. He's hanging one and guys are just sending it and great. Fine. He is, by the way, I believe the pitcher that will make this game. I know he was kind of questionable. He had a shin injury, but he is on schedule, according to RotoWire, on schedule to make his start Wednesday against the Red Sox after a successful bullpen session over the weekend. So that is what I'm planning on. I'm planning on attacking Graveman with the Red Sox, and obviously you're going to want to get lefties. You're going to want to get righties. I have zero issue going just straight up 1-4. Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland. Now, can you afford that? No, I don't know that you can, and so you probably flex into the 4-6 if you're going to get a Scherzer in your lineup, and maybe if you have a Sale, you're not going to be able to stack all those bats in there. So Moreland, Bogarts, Devers, perfectly fine with those guys. Absolutely know that they have the ability to lift the ball. But I do think it's more interesting to get guys who you know can hit the home run here in this situation. And, you know, obviously we want home runs. My point is that if this guy has a propensity for getting balls jacked up every once in a while, because you want somebody with the power to get it out easily, right? Martinez and Moreland are the two names that pop for me. Both of them ISO above 310 this year. Betts, of course, very, very appealing as well. Those are the guys that I would zero in on. Bogarts, yes, absolutely. Benintendi and Ramirez, maybe you take them as kind of, you know, peripheral options. And I think Devers and Nunez are just options that you need salary relief for, who hopefully can string together the stack. But Martinez and Moreland, those are the two guys that you really, really want to focus in on, you know, and Betts too. But if you're paying top notch for a pitcher, it's going to be hard to fit in Martinez, Moreland, and Betts. So you're probably going to have to pick a Moreland, Martinez, Moreland, Betts in order to make that price work for you. And I just don't see. I mean, fitting in Mookie and Martinez is hard enough as it is when you have a reasonably priced pitcher. When you have, you know, a 12K pitcher, I just don't know if you're going to be able to do it. Moving over. Some other options. I think, you know, and like I said, you're going to have to be a little bit different, a little bit more aggressive. I'm not necessarily thinking that these, I can't differentiate or rank exactly how I feel about these various stack options, but I will say I am interested in the Nationals righties. Now, we know that CC, he's a game manager. He's a gamer. He's not going to walk anybody. He's got a very low K rate, but he's not going to walk anybody. He's going to generate a whole lot of ground balls. The Sierra 3.98. Listen, the guy's going to just soak up innings. And frankly, it's a pain in the ass because this is what he does, right? He just takes up space. He soaks up innings. He just gets through games, and he doesn't let anybody take advantage of him. If you want to do anything against CC Sabathia, you got to be a right-hander. That's the one kind of thing that where we could see maybe there's a little bit of a flaw here. 30% hard contact rate to the right-handed, yeah, to the right-handers. You know, almost all of the runs that he's allowed this year have come versus right-handers. A lot of the extra base hits, the only walks that he's given up come to that side of the plate, and three of the home runs. So it's not a lot. The guy has been perfectly fine. He's managing things really well, and he's death to lefties. I mean, he's death to lefties. He hasn't walked a lefty this year. He's given up one earned run, and it was on a home run. Four hits to lefties this year. So he is, you're going to have to play the righties. I think it's an interesting way to be different. And there's righties that we like here. You know, I mean, we trust these guys. Turner, Rendon, Kendrick, and Mark Reynolds. I think they're all interesting. I'm not really going beyond those guys. I think that those are the guys that I would probably lean and, you know, target in on. Zim would obviously be great. His numbers are the best on the team right now versus left-handers. But Rendon matching him in power there with a 200 ISO. You know, obviously we know that Anthony Rendon can get it done. Trey Turner really hasn't shown up much this year, but he's in the top of the order. I don't know. It's not perfect, but it's somewhere that you can go here with this stack of you know, Turner, Rendon, Kendrick, and Reynolds. I think that you could absolutely go there and expect, not expect anything. Don't expect anything. Just know that there's an intent there. You're hopeful. You're very hopeful. Now, the one game that I think is very interesting is this Cubs Braves game, and Chatwood and McCarthy, I think, could be the place where people get their offense. Now, both of these teams are really freaking expensive. which is really, really frustrating. And it's hard. It's hard. But they're both good versus right-handers. Atlanta currently fourth in WRC+. You know, managing a nice 20% K rate. They're not swinging too much. The Cubs, very similar. 106 WRC plus with a 20% K rate. Very, very similar numbers. Very similar sample size, nearly 1,100 plate appearances. So we know that these are actually pretty solid right-handed, or excuse me, offenses facing right-handers. So what do? We look at Chatwood and we look at, how do you attack this guy? Who's been pretty good. I mean, they really can only get, he's not giving up home runs. He's not giving up fly balls, but he is allowing base runners. And I think what we have to try to exploit is the fact that he's capable of walking guys and letting these things get away from him. And a 21% walk rate to right-handers and a 17% walk rate to lefties. This is where the flaw is for Chatwood, right? He's going to allow base runners, and that's where things get ugly. He's not going to allow any homers, and he's going to get a whole lot of ground balls, over 50% ground ball rate, and he's only allowed a 27% fly ball rate to lefties. So don't necessarily get too excited about the dingers, but there's a first time for everything, and he does allow a 34% hard contact rate to the left-handed side of the plate. So Freddie Freeman, obviously, if there's somebody who maybe gets to Chatwood for the first time this year, okay, I'll put my money on Freddie. You know, I mean, why wouldn't I? I think in this situation, when you're trying to generate base runners, you do have to stack. And if you're saying, listen, this guy doesn't allow a lot of one-off homers, okay, well, let's get the stack. Let's get the walk plus the knock, you know, the double that knocks him in. Let's get the walk and the steal. Let's get, you know, and that's why you stack, because you want that effect. Now, Freeman, of course, is right up there in WOBA and ISO, over 400, over 200 in ISO. So he's your first choice. You build around him. You add possibly Markakis in the 5-hole or 4-hole, depending on where he is. Acuna up at the top. He's been very, very solid. Albies has the power versus right-handers, 262 ISO, but perhaps a few too many strikeouts, should we say. He's struck out the most on the team, and I think that just comes with a big cut that he has, and it's a 322 WOBA. So clearly he is compromising on good contact to send the ball. But it's allowed him to be the leader in RBIs for this team. 23 RBIs, 8 homers. He is absolutely this is a debut for the ages, guys. The numbers are there. I think I saw I think he's like matching Bryce Harper for the home runs in the National League, something like that. So pretty cool stuff. And he has definitely got the team lead in homers against right-handers. So Albies. I think it's a very straightforward four-man. You know, it's not don't get too cute here. It's Albies, Acuna, Freeman, Markakis. Now, Ender Inciarte in the 5-hole just makes me so excited, because talk about a guy who's a productive base runner. You know, he's not a power guy. And so you have a situation with Inciarte where maybe he goes a little bit overlooked. He's capable of getting stolen bases and trying to get online. I mean, this team, he leads the team in hits right now, 35 hits against right-handers, so you have to like the way that Inciarte is playing. He's been very, very productive. He's going to get on base. He's going to generate, movement on the base paths, capable of a stolen base as well. Not necessarily you're stealing against Contreras. That's not real. just to be clear, you're not. It's certainly interesting to get the lefties there, but I would also add Albies or Acuna. I think Freeman, Markakis, Inciarte, and then maybe Albies, just because of the power upside, and he's got the ability to swat one. Acuna, love him, but maybe he's the guy you leave out in the four man. I don't know. On the opposite side, attacking McCarthy, it's funny. I mean, you see his very similar profile and style. Low K rate, high ground ball rate, managing innings, not anything overwhelming, nothing too sexy, and a 27% hard contact rate. But then you go, wait, 25% home run to fly ball ratio. What the hell is going on here? and you take a look at the splits, and it's both sides of the plate, really, for McCarthy. They're both getting to him. He's got an elevated WOBA to both sides right now, allowing more hard contact to righties. So you kind of start to get a little bit of excitement about it, but then you look at the ground ball to fly ball ratio and you get a little bit less excited, right? 2-1 ground ball to fly ball ratio. So keep your britches on about the Cubs, because McCarthy has been really good. I think not really good. He's been effective. That's the word for Brandon McCarthy at this age. And I think you could absolutely, you know, get yourself into a situation where they go twice through this order and everybody's just grounding into double plays and shit. And you're just like, this game is terrible, you know, and this game ends 2-2. And you're just, everybody's got one walk. Everybody in my Cubs stack has a walk. That's great. But you got to try to find a little bit of an edge somewhere. Schwarber, Zobrist, they're interesting to me. They're batting well. Obviously, Rizzo and Bryant have the ability to leave the park. You never really know what Madden is going to do with his order, so I'm always kind of open-minded about my Cubs stack based on the way things are going. Javi Baez back. Good to see him back in the lineup. I thought he was going to be injured a lot for a much longer period of time, but didn't really miss a beat there. So he is absolutely the one piece that I think right now you build around him and Schwarber, and then mix and match based on what you want from the top of the order. Zobrist is always inexpensive. You can add Bryant, Rizzo, whatever you want to do. I think one interesting way might be to game stack this one. It's not going to have a particularly high total, but I think if you have pitchers that could start to give up runs and get to bullpens, these would be the two, right? Neither of these guys have really managed to be, you know, solid gamers because of the walks and because of the base runners allowed. So if there's a game where things start to open up a little bit, this would be the one where I really think it might actually open up a little bit. Now, that doesn't help you a whole lot, frankly. So I think one of the things that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to pick some one-offs to attack in a couple random spots. And I think what you probably end up doing is you probably take some one-offs from the Dodgers and the Marlins because of the little flaws, and I mentioned these batted ball flaws that these guys, Buehler and Caleb Smith, have. And they've given up a couple homers. They've given up some hard contact. They both are, you know, a little bit elevated in the hard contact department, as young guys sometimes are. 38% hard contact for both of them. Fly ball rate for Caleb Smith a lot higher than the fly ball rate for Buehler. So you could talk me into Cody Bellinger in this situation as a nice one-off. Jock Peterson as a potential one-off. And try to get some of these lefties here. Maybe Yasmani Grandal, I don't know. That would be something that I think you could do. And on the opposite side, Justin Bour. I always like Justin Bour against a righty who maybe gives up a little bit of hard contact. If you want to try to play the prediction game with who's going to get the home run off of Max Scherzer, be my guest. I would guess it's going to be Didi, but, you know, what do I know? Didi's just right now is really cooking against them. As much as I want to say, okay, it's the Astros, don't be scared of Garrett Richards, I am scared of Garrett Richards. So I don't necessarily know who you can hammer with Richards. He's been solid. He's been really, really solid. He has given up a couple runs, and he is a guy that maybe the wheels fall off a little bit. Just not a lot of hard contact for him. And the ground ball rate has been excellent. It's just hard to really say, like, you could play, you know, Josh Reddick with any confidence there in that situation. So I think it's pick a stud pitcher, get your Boston stack, fill in the rest of it. Maybe have some fun with a Cubs Braves game stack. That could be an interesting one with one of the cheap pitchers, young guys. Really, it would be different, I think. And we'll go from there. Hey guys, good luck. Good luck in all your contests. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time.